Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
I want to ask the question today, are we living in the last days? 2 Timothy 3 and 1 through 5 says, "Let us know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." What I want to point out is that you have the culture of the Antichrist before you gain or get the kingdom of the Antichrist. We know that very soon a man of sin will be in operation of the greatest Gentile and world empire that's ever existed. It will be short-lived, but it will be quite cataclysmic in its crowning achievements. And in order for this culture of the Antichrist to really come into formation, we have to see that some of the things that 2 Timothy 3 and 1 through 5 spells out is really taking place in our day. We see the moral fabric fraying at the edges. Even here in America, we understand that more and more there is less God-fearing individuals and there's more of an individualistic approach with atheism and humanism and self-satisfaction and self-indulgence. Those that believe in God keep God at a distance. They don't really want him involved in their everyday affairs. There may be just kind of a box on a checklist that they get to check off week to week, but there's no real deep personal relationship. And so we see the increase in many of these things that spelled out in 2 Timothy 3 and 1 through 5, which tells me that we are living in the last days. Because in order for the kingdom of the Antichrist to be able to come into power with a man of sin, you have to have a culture of sin. And so the culture of the Antichrist is being prepared right now so that when the kingdom of the Antichrist comes into full fruition, he has less resistance. And in addition to that, you're going to have the conspiracy of the Antichrist. In fact, Daniel 8 tells us that he's going to use craft to push through his policies, and he's going to be able to deceive nations with his platforms of peace. In fact, he's going to make a covenant with Israel, and in that covenant, he's going to promise security. He's going to promise that Israel, from a religious standpoint, is not only going to be able to rebuild and use their temple, but they're going to be able to institute daily sacrifices again. Now, we know that according to Daniel 9:27, that halfway through this covenant with Israel, that this Antichrist is going to break this covenant because he is going to stop the oblation. He's going to cease the animal sacrifices. And the reason he's going to do this is he's going to commit, in the very spirit of Antiochus Epiphanes, the abomination of desolation. He's going to go into the temple, sit down in the temple, and present himself as God. That's what 2 Thessalonians teaches, that he opposes all that is God, and he sits at the temple as God, showing himself that he is God. And so in this great blasphemous moment, there is going to be a breaking of a covenant with Israel, and then Israel is going to be in real trouble, because now, as is seen in Revelation 12, this demonic agenda of the Antichrist will be to wipe out Israel all of a sudden. So keying in on this concept of the increase in the culture of the Antichrist, we can see that morality in so many places is breaking down. Truly, I see more disrespect of children to their parents than ever before. I see an uprise in, and especially as you've watched in major cities like Chicago and Los Angeles, where they have these teen takeovers and kids are just absolutely being lawless in their activity and taking over malls, shutting down streets, hundreds of arrests that have had to be made. Think about in the drug world, just in the last 10 years, we have seen an increase in fentanyl deaths. In fact, in 2014, there were about 5,500 fentanyl-related deaths in the United States. By 2021, that changed to 70,400 deaths. That was a 900% increase in just 7 years. And so since 2021, annually, there has been at least 70,000 fentanyl-related deaths in America. That is considered to be about 69% of all overdose deaths. And so we're looking at this and we're seeing this increase, even in a global sense, of probably between 2016 and 2026, some 73% increase in the world even of sex trafficking, the cases that are coming out around the world. And part of the reason is that this is it's hundreds of billions of dollars that's being made in this world of sex trafficking and wickedness. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we're living in a time when it's not even wolves in sheep's clothing. It's just wolves that have taken off the sheep's clothing, and they're just absolutely acting in a very blasphemous, sacrilegious, violent, vehement, defiant, rebellious manner. And this wickedness in the world of fentanyl, in the world of sex trafficking, even gambling addiction has gone up by 52% in the last few years. And part of that is because now 68% of gambling is done right on somebody's device, right on a mobile phone. And so gambling addictions have increased exponentially in just the last 3 or 4 years. Think about the anger issues, even in America, rising rates of anxiety and depression, especially since COVID-19 pandemic. And these things have made emotional regulation harder and harder for many people. And this is from secular observation. And again, these are things that 2 Timothy 3:1-5 were dealing with 2,000 years ago in a prophetic sense and determining where we are. Are we truly living in the last days? Social and political division. I mean, you're talking about extreme polarization. And then you've got social network platforms like X and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and so on that just absolutely exacerbates these things of an us versus them mentality, and it feeds outrage. And one of the things the scripture says in Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage? And that's a scripture pointed at the end time. And it's especially appointed at a rebellious movement that is going to fight the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Something else that lends itself to the increase of anger in our society is no doubt economic pressure. We see inflation and housing costs and job insecurity that creates chronic stress, which often shows up as irritability and anger. And somebody doesn't know necessarily how to turn that faucet of anger off. And we're not even just talking about people that are in a secular sense that have no spiritual constitution or any kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about people in the church, people that sit on our seats, people that listen to the preaching of the word on a week-to-week basis that are dealing with rage and issues. And then, you know, it's a 24/7 news cycle. You can find out information at the snap of a finger. It's not like you got to wait for the newspaper to come out or for something to come in the mail for you to figure out, or a magazine and the next issue of a specific magazine like Time or People to come out. It's around the clock, and it's highlights on conflict and crime and one crisis to another, whether it's natural disasters or the war going on in Iran. And you got major floods taking place in many parts of the world. And so, again, it's crime, it's conflict, it's crisis. And we're trying in this hour to get people to the cross and to preach Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel. And we believe that there never has been a greater hour and a greater need for the good news of the gospel, because we are truly living in a bad world, and it's only getting worse. Surveys from organizations like American Psychological Association show stress levels remain elevated compared to pre-2020 levels. Road rage incidents and public confrontations have increased in several new reported cases. Workplace burnout and interpersonal conflict are rising topics in human resources and in mental health discussions. And so our world is having to deal with short tempers and irritability and online hostility. I mean, you want to find rage, somebody who may seem like they've got it all together and are peaceable, if you met them in person, you let them find the anonymity of social network, and all of a sudden, I mean, the comment sections are just full of venom and hostility. And then, you know, aggressive driving and increased conflict in relationship with both domestic and international cases. And then there's just an increase in violence all the way around. It's not like even that there's just peaceful protests. It's generally true that protests are going to end up having some kind of violent altercation. One of the things that describes the Antichrist kingdom is in Revelation 13:1, when John said, "I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Now, blasphemy is cursing God. It's replacing God with godlike claims. It's rejecting the truth of God and replacing what God has truly created by human engineering. It's using profanity in terms of how one might address the name of Jesus even, or the name of God. And the increase of profanity and the increase of blasphemy in our hour can truly be related to several things. First of all, only about 2% in 1948 had no religious affiliation. That's up to about 30% today. Belief in God was at about 98% in 1967. That's now down to about 81% in 2022. And so when you have less belief in the Bible, when you have less regard for the things that used to be revered in the Scripture, even on a moral basis like the respect and the obedience to the Ten Commandments, then you're going to have less respect and more rejection. Less respect and more ridicule. Less respect and more rebellion. And when you get something coming out of rebellion, then you're going to have hostility toward the holiness of the Word of God. You're going to have profanity toward the principles of the Scripture and the promises of the Word of God, because the promises of the Word of God no longer mean anything to a belief system and a cultural majority that isn't going to church, that isn't reading the Bible, that isn't building a daily altar, that isn't trying to find a relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, they think of things about God in more of a scandalous way than they do of seeking Him out and trying to find a personal relationship with him. And then, of course, again, the rise in digital expression. You have media platforms that amplify provocative speech and mockery and criticism. And these are all things that Apostle Peter even prophesied, that in the last days they would scoff and ask, where is the promise of his coming? And so we're living in this very tense moment of human history where religion is becoming more of a self-religion and is becoming more of that which is built on the delusion that you can stay in your sin and save yourself and engineer whatever form of God that you want to have. That's going back to having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So that if there's any kind of morality, the morality then doesn't come from the Bible. It comes from the simple goodness of man. Well, that's, as according to the Word of God in the Old Testament, that the goodness of man and the righteousness of man is like filthy rags before God, or in comparison to the righteousness of God. So, as society becomes more individualistic, authority is questioned even more, especially when it comes to God. And as religious literacy declines, sacred things are treated casually or truly with disrespect. Cultural emphasis then shifts towards self-expression over reverence. And we're seeing that more and more. People are wanting to have experiences, but they want those experiences to be in substances. They want those experiences to be in secular inventions or something that is based in nature, something that they can find even in a community of like minds. And again, they don't want God anywhere near it. They don't, it isn't even that God's anywhere in the middle of it. He's not even on the outer edges of it. I mean, ungodly means that you have some sense that God exists, but godless means that you have no regard for God because you have no thought for God. You're not thinking about God because you don't believe in the mere existence of God. When you have respect for God declining in a culture, then you begin to create more and more of a lack of trust in governments and in media, in institutions and in churches. All of that plays a significant role in how people are treating even the concepts of gender and marriage and sexuality, because that has a more liberally defined broad scope, even in a generation of casual sex and in the increase in pornography. All of these things contributing, even to there are more single parent homes now than ever. You have couples that don't want to get married, and if they do get married, they wait till they're in their mid-30s, and they just live together for a great number of years. And so all of these things are adding up to a culture that is becoming less Christ-like in its mindset and building a platform and a stage for a man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, the great Judas of the last days, to take his place. You know, one of the defining cornerstones of a Christian walk with God is humility. And when you come to God with humility and brokenness and contrition and with a lifestyle of repentance, daily doing your best to conform to a Christ-like mentality, to a Christ-like lifestyle, to a development of character and love and peace, joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, when those things begin to decline, and sometimes even in the church, you find people that start to get an edge on them to where they start saying, well, don't preach at me, or I don't have to do it that way. Well, that's haughtiness, and that's pride, and that's part of people becoming lovers of their own selves. They don't want to necessarily sacrifice themselves or their opinions for commandments. They want to have some kind of out. They want to have options on the list. They don't want something to be told to them in an absolute way. And when we came to the kingdom of God, one of the things we told the Lord was, not my will, but thine be done. There had to be surrender. There had to be submission. But now the mission of this hour is, give me a message that doesn't necessarily make me bend my knee to at an altar, but gives me alternatives to live however I want to live and still claim this walk with God, or still claim that I have some kind of association with God. When you go back even into the history of Israel, and when they would suffer oppression at the hands of other nations, it would be because of a statement made right at the beginning of the book of Judges, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So it was more individualistic. There was no community of believers. There was no mindset of trying to be relationally close to God or live according to the commandments of God or live with the protection and provisions of God, because they were turning their back on God. They began to accept other gods and idolatry and extortion and ways of living from other nations that God never meant for Israel. And all of a sudden, they would find themselves in slavery and paying tribute to false gods and having to give over the major portions of their crops and harvest and agriculture and market to the kings of other nations. Here's the thing. When man chooses to be in charge, and it seems like that's just an innocent gesture, but when man chooses to be in charge, that means he shoves God out of the picture. It's not long until the devil is in charge. And that's exactly what's going to happen with the kingdom of the Antichrist. You're going to have a lot of supporters of this great political being who are going to be atheists, they're going to be humanistic, they're going to be New Age type people that believe in a self-God promotion. But all of a sudden, when the Antichrist takes off the mask and tries to reveal himself as a modern-day Caesar and as a deified individual, because now he is a true puppet of Lucifer, we're going to see that this has nothing to do with man being in charge, that the devil was in charge all along. Maybe some would say, well, I ain't going to do what the devil wants me to do. But at the same time, they don't serve God, and there's no neutral ground. When you choose not to serve God, whether you do it actively or inactively, directly or indirectly, voluntarily or involuntarily, you're going to serve the enemy, passively or aggressively. Now, we're finding more and more aggression in the world of immorality and in satanic slogans and in the brewery of witchcraft, getting into jargon and speech and conversations and imaginations and mindsets. And that's just saying that man took a stage and said, I want to be in charge with a humanistic society. But it isn't just going to be humanism, it's going to be hell that takes over. It's going to be a demonic agenda at the center of everything. But my friend, there is good news in a bad world. Jesus Christ and the old rugged cross still works. Acts 2:38 and the river of the Holy Ghost still rages in revival in these last days. And you can find a place of repentance in God. You can discover the promises of God that are real if you'll just obey what the scripture says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is a powerful experience. It is a mighty encounter with God. It's something that is not just a religious observation anymore, something that's just put in mere historical context, but it's something that becomes experiential. It's something that becomes even emotionally real, because it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so I pray for somebody today that might be just stubbornly walking down your own path and making statements in pride like, I don't need God, I don't need the church, I don't need anybody, I got myself, I got my good job, I got my strength and my health. But my friend, all of that can go away in the snap of a finger. All that can go away in the next trauma or the next disaster. What you need today is the nonstop, daily, powerful, delivering name of Jesus Christ. Because when you take on the name of Jesus Christ, you become a part of a kingdom that will never end. I pray today that somehow you'll hear some good news in a bad world. And more than that, that you'll obey the good news of the gospel today in Jesus' name.
I got it. Now I'm found. Jesus saved my life. I was bound. Now I'm free. Walking in the light. That's the reason why. That's the reason I.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.